Monsignor Quixote, written by Graham Greene and read by Cyril Cusack.
Part 1, Chapter 1, How Father Quixote Became a Monsignor. It happened this way. Father Quixote had ordered his solitary lunch from his housekeeper and set off to buy wine at a local cooperative 8 kilometers away from El Toboso on the main road to Valencia. It was a day when the heat stood and quivered on the dry fields, and there was no air conditioning in his little Seat 600, which he'd bought already second-hand 8 years before. As he drove, he thought sadly of the day when he'd have to find a new car. A dog's years can be multiplied by 7 to equal a man's, and by that calculation his car would still be in early middle age. But he noticed how already his parishioners began to regard his Seat as almost senile. "You can't trust it, Don Quixote," they'd warn him, and he could only reply, "It's been with me through many bad days, and I pray God it may survive me." So many of his prayers had remained unanswered that he had hopes that this one prayer of his had lodged all the time like wax in the eternal ear. He could see where the main road lay by reason of the small dust puffs raised by the passing cars. As he drove, he worried about the fate of the Seat, which he called, in memory of his ancestor, My Rocinante. He couldn't bear the thought of his little car rusting on a scrap heap. He sometimes thought of buying a small plot of land and leaving it as an inheritance to one of his parishioners, on condition that a sheltered corner be reserved for his car to rest in. But there was not one parishioner whom he could trust to carry out his wish, and in any case, a slow death by rust couldn't be avoided, and perhaps a crusher at a scrapyard would be a more merciful end. Thinking of all this for the 100th time, he nearly ran into a stationary black Mercedes, which was parked round the corner on the main road. He assumed that the dark-clothed figure at the wheel was taking a rest on the long drive from Valencia to Madrid, and he went on to buy his jar of wine at the collective without pausing. It was only as he returned he became aware of a white Roman collar like a handkerchief signalling distress. How on earth, he wondered, could one of his brother priests afford a Mercedes? But when he drew up, he noticed a purple bib below the collar which denoted at least a monsignor, if not a bishop. Father Quixote had reason to be afraid of bishops. He was well aware how much his own bishop, who regarded him, in spite of his distinguished ancestry, as little better than a peasant, disliked him. "How can he be descended from a fictional character?" he demanded in a private conversation which had been promptly reported to Father Quixote. The man to whom the bishop had spoken asked, "A fictional character? A character in a novel by an overrated writer called Cervantes. A novel, moreover, with many disgusting passages, which in the days of the Generalissimo wouldn't even have passed the censor. But, Your Excellency, you can see the house of Dulcinea in El Toboso. There it is, marked on a plaque, the house of Dulcinea." "Oh, trap for tourists. Why," the bishop went on, "Quixote is not even a Spanish patronymic. Cervantes himself says the surname was probably Quijada, or Quisada, or even Quijana, and on his deathbed Quixote calls himself Quijano." "I can see you've read the book then, Your Excellency." "I've never got beyond the first chapter, although, of course, I have glanced at the last, my usual habit with novels. Perhaps some ancestor of the father was called Quijada or Quijana? Men of that class have no ancestors." It was with trepidation, then, that Father Quixote introduced himself to the high clerical figure in the distinguished Mercedes. "My name is Padre Quixote, Monsignor. Can I be of any service?"
"You certainly can, my friend. I am the Bishop of Motopo." He spoke with an Italian accent.